I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Well, another week.
Quite a week at that.
Oh, well.
Oh, let me get my soundboard.
More than one soundboard at this point.
Oh, that's right. I know, I'm adding a new page to the soundboard since Mariah added a couple more pages to her book. So, well, everyone, welcome back to another week. I'm T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley.
And this is another... Oh, no. And welcome back to another episode of...
Legends Only.
Your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about...
Legends Only.
And as always, we would like to start off by giving a huge shout out to our Patreon Legends Only fans on patreon.com/legendsonly. And everyone, gather round, children. The book club is starting soon. So get your copies of, what's it even called? Memoirs?
The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
I still just am so confused that she didn't throw the word memoir in there.
Well, she did have the memoirs of an imperfect angel, so.
It just feels like such a Mariah word, but anyway, yes, for everyone in the legend tier, we are starting the Legends Only Reads, Books Not People book club, starting soon with the Meaning of Mariah Carey, which...
The name's just going to get longer every week.
Yeah, it will. I'll just keep adding to it. So we are doing the Mariah Carey memoir, and we're doing one part at a time. I just finished part one this morning. I mean, do we want to give like a little teaser of like how we felt? Because we haven't even talked about it yet.
Yeah, not at all. We haven't. Yeah, I tore through it because when you get the Mariah experience on Audible, which I highly recommend.
Yeah, not sponsored. Not
sponsored. You do get Mariah delivering it in her voice and her vocals. And she gives you a sing-along moment or two along the way and a lot of drama, and she gives you accents. She gives you some vulnerability. There were some moments she most definitely was choked up while she was talking. Very engaging. It's like having a Mariah podcast, which everyone's doing podcasts these days. So
yeah, I will say I started it with a laugh, like right out of the gate. And then
the process is hilarious.
I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this while I walk, because I usually walk 2 to 3 hours a morning. So I'm like, oh, I can do, you know, whatever. This bitch had me sobbing. I was sobbing in the park through some of this, like part one. I was like, oh, this is, I'm in public. Oh, you know?
Yeah, no, it's really emotional. It's the first act of the book is about her past, obviously. And even though we know bits and pieces along the way, she's really gone in and done the done the work to excavate some pretty painful memories. So yeah. It is, but it is also done with a sense of humor because, as she explains in the book, that's how she copes. And she's funny. There's some, even in the darkest moments, she has some real witty observations. Her whole career has been, you know, personal. The music has been personal, and now it guides you along the way of the songs. And all of a sudden, all these songs, which she sings throughout the book, have new meaning and deeper meaning. And all of a sudden, specific lyrics, you're like, oh my God, that's literally about that event. And
right? It
just totally changes the way you think about her music and where she was when she was recording it. It's really cool to just have that ability to talk about your whole career like that and have music to back it up. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, same. My go-to karaoke song is Hero by Mariah Carey. And now I don't think I can ever, well, we can't do karaoke anyway, but I can't do that anymore because I'll start sobbing.
I mean, mine is Email My Heart by Britney, and I don't know that it's as emotional yet, but we're waiting for her good mysterious book, so it might be.
Right? Ugh. Okay, well, if you would like to join on this journey with us, patreon.com/legendsonly for everyone in the legend tier. That will be coming very soon. We're going to give the girls a few more days to catch up because things have been slightly chaotic in the world, to say the least. So,
yeah, up and down.
Yeah. So, anyway, without further ado, shall we get into this week?
Yeah, let's jump into the week's events.
So, to start off, I just have to say that I survived this week. Give it up for her.
Congratulations. Give it up for her.
I had an emotional moment in the park today. I was like, I cannot believe that I did it. It was BTS week. This has been the most stressful week. I had like a health scare like 2 weeks ago at the urgent care. And then I had BTS week. I'm just, you know, I'm here. I'm grateful to be here. I had a moment in the park with the turtles and the birds. I've been meditating.
Are they snapping turtles?
So they're like, I looked this up. They are red-necked.
That's rude.
No, like they literally have red necks.
Okay.
They're called like red-neck something snapping turtles.
So they snap.
Yeah.
I can see how you relate.
Yeah. But there's them, and then there's another breed, which I need to find out. But there's like another one that's cuter, that looks more like cartoony. But anyway, the point is that I survived and did not throw myself in the reservoir. So we're here.
And we're here now. Yes, BTS week was actually very entertaining. I was both covering it for work, but also watching it for my pleasure because I do love the boys. And I have to say, it was such a fun, exciting experience. Every time it struck midnight and people started speculating about what the performance would be of the week, and how cool to like be a stan of a group like that and get 5 days of content. Just very cool.
I hope I did that. Like, I really wanted to, because, you know, I think I said this on the podcast last week where I was, you know, diving back into MTV circa early 2000s and these specials that we talk about years later. I really was trying to do something similar. Like, I was like, let me create something that fans will remember 10, 15 years from now. Like, I know that that sounds really dramatic, but like, I'm dead ass serious.
I agree. I think you did that. And I think, you know, especially given the circumstances, mm-hmm. you did, you know, what you could do in the moment. And they put on some epic stages, and I think it was just a really fun time for them. And they certainly seemed appreciative online. So
I know all the fans were sending me really sweet. They still are, like, literally right now. And I was like, oh my God, I really like did that. I made them happy, and not all fans are mean.
I don't know what it's like to look at your app mentions and be like, oh, that's nice.
Right. I was like, because I turned it off because I was like, if I fucked something up, I'm going to get scalped. And like, I've already been through the ringer with Nicki fans. I've been through the ringer with Britney fans. And I was like, the last thing I need is the K-pop fans to come for me, because
definitely not.
They basically changed the world at this point.
Right. But I think you were respectful. You gave them new access to things, and or just, you know, it was interactive and fun. And that's kind of what fans ask for, is like, to treat them respectfully and give a good experience. So I think you did that.
Yeah. And they wanted us to do proper captions. And so I literally was able to hire proper captioning from the company, and they're working on it. Like, I was like, I'm giving this 150%. Like, I see the tweets.
That's amazing anyway, because I've also seen there's been a little bit of a, not like certain TikTokers that I follow, like their comments kind of get spam with, like, there's this automated caption thing you can do for hearing impaired people, that when you're talking, it automates the captions or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's different companies that use it. And I'm like, this is a great idea. This should be implemented everywhere. And yeah, even especially like K-pop, like you wanna, if you can get the English translations, or if you can get at least the lyrics to come up, it's ideal. Yeah. Definitely ideal. That's why when like Blackpink comes straight out the gate with like the translations in the videos, which is like amazing. That's how I feel like it should be in the future.
Yeah.
But
well, it should be up next week, early next week. I got you, Army.
Look at you doing the work.
I also did my research too, and I was like really into their stage setups. Like, you know, I'm all into like the mix of like real life mixed with this like virtual whatever. And I was looking at all these old performances, and I was like getting super, because that's what I ultimately I think I want to do in life is like build.
Yes, you know, that's your third act or second act or whatever act we're on is set design.
At this point, it might be my final act. But
it's over now. Take a bow.
It's over to you now. Oh God. No, but like I was doing all the digging, and then the song Microcosmos.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, I am so into this, and like the lyrics and the English translation. And I watched the performance on like the MMAs. I like really did the whole dig, and I was like very into it. But anyway,
and I think it's appreciated. Yeah, definitely. I definitely think K-pop fans, especially for BTS fans, they want like people to know that it's not just throwaway fluffy pop, and that their lyrics are usually pretty meaningful, social justice, like empowerment, and you know, it's more than just, they have their fun songs too, but you know, and I think it's cool when that comes across. And so anyway, yeah, I think you did a great job. BTS Week was a success. I saw it, it's trending.
Mm-hmm. Also, can I say something like kind of deep for a second?
Uh-oh.
That was kind of inspired by the Mariah book as well.
Oh, go for it.
You know how you've been working on your website a lot lately, and you say that you feel like you're reconnecting with what your passion is?
Yeah.
So I've been on my walks and stuff, and if people think it's silly or whatever, that's fine. But I've been trying to have moments of grounding, like meditating and stuff. And I feel like despite all of the stress, and I, you know, I obviously can't get into like the what you see online is a lot harder to make happen than it looks, I guess, is the point.
Always. Yeah.
There's just a lot that goes into it. And so all of that aside, creating this experience, I felt genuinely like, okay, this is my passion, and I felt it, and I was excited by it, despite being exhausted, not sleeping, being stressed, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I had like a moment.
That's the feeling that we're chasing.
Right?
So,
like that spark where you're like, oh, this is my purpose.
And it's like gasoline. Yeah.
That too. But like, you know, I had one of those moments this week too, where I was like, okay, anyway, I don't want to get emotional.
That. I actually felt that in something that we're going to talk about very soon. Uh-huh. Other content that kind of gets kicked off with a breaking news alert.
It does, which I still don't have a theme song for.
I think we just 24/7 R9 watch.
Yeah. We should record a... I'm going to send you voice lines to record on voice memos.
Okay.
I'll be in touch.
And I'll just do melodies. Yeah. I'll be Melody Thornton, and I'll go off script, and I'll be like,
telling you to loosen up my 24/7.
Sing it my line, baby.
Oh my God, there's a part in the, I'm saving it. It's a surprise. There's a part in the book that,
like, okay,
the Mariah book that is literally me on every episode of Legends Only. But I'm saving the soundboard for the Patreon girls.
Perfect.
Yes, everyone. Breaking 24/7 R9 watch news. She was asked about the album and she didn't yell at the fans.
She didn't. No, she actually gave her most honest, I think, response that she could give yet. I think this was her most clear, non-trolly response yet.
Yes. She said, quote, "I just want to have fun with music." And I was like, thank you.
And all I heard was, because you've ruined the word fun for me, was our soundboard.
Oh.
We're all gonna have fun!
Literally, I just heard her saying that.
Good luck booking that stage you speak of.
Yeah, she basically said she's spent years and years making music and that she's written songs in writing camps forever, but now she feels a little freer to do her own thing because she can. And she just wants to make music that's fun and that makes her happy. And she then implied, I think, that music is kind of ready, but she was like, yeah, I want a tour, but not right now. And obviously I can't. And I feel like she implied that the pandemic pushed back what might have been some plans to start the campaign. So, you know, I think it was her most honest answer yet. And as we've said this whole experience, I don't really blame anyone for not putting out music or putting out music right now. Cause I'm like, I get it on both sides. Like,
so do you guys clubbing? Are you dancers?
Yes, we are.
Especially because this entire year has been full of incredible dance music and it's like, enjoy it at home.
I know. I'm like, oh, I was having a little dance party by myself last night to Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm still at home, but whatever.
Well, I've been discovering because their Purity Ring, this group, did a cover of Alice DJ's Better Off Alone, which a classic.
What?
A classic. They gave it sort of like an emo makeover.
Wait, like Purity Ring, like Begin Again, Begin.
Yeah. They did. It's one of the many things I have queued up to write about this weekend because the girls need to talk to each other before New Music Friday because this was a stupid New Music Friday. It was like 20 albums in a row. But anyway.
Yeah, I haven't listened to anything.
No, it's too much. I was like angry. I can't process all of this.
Right,
so,
like there needs to just be like one batch of releases at the first day
like
of the month.
Stagger it through the week. I know we care about charts, but like.
Stagger it through the year. One album a month. I can't do it anymore. It's too much.
You also play Rock, Paper, Scissors for the date, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
One album a month. That's it.
But yeah, Purity Ring did a Better Off Alone cover. It's not dancey. It's more moody version of it. But then that inspired me to find a Spotify playlist called Better Off Alone. And it's, I mean, Darude Sandstorm. It's Better Off, Better Off Alone, obviously. Eiffel 65, Blue. Like,
ooh.
All of our early O's, late 90s dance bops. And that was a good little gym moment.
Iconic. But,
yeah.
When we're out of this, I'm making you host a early O's night.
Oh my God. That would actually be so fun to just do, like, kick off with Sandstorm and just go from there. And, oh, Castles in the Sky, Ian Van Dahl.
Oh, tell me why.
Absolutely doing that in 2024.
No, 2022.
It could go down so well too at what's that place in Brooklyn that felt like a castle?
The Brooklyn Mirage. Oh, don't even get me started. One of their posts came up on my Instagram the other day, and I got so upset. But anyway,
and speaking of dreaming,
we'll be dreaming of clubbing and dancing tonight. Yes. Speaking of dreaming, clubbing, dancing, and legends, Kelly Clarkson did another fucking amazing cover this week of the legend Selena, mm-hmm. Dreaming of You.
God, this song, ever since the Selena movie, I feel like has stuck with me, which I know that kind of makes me fake fan or whatever, but I was younger and this song always gets me. And, you know, a legend covering a legend. We love to see it. Kelly-oke going strong in the pandemic. She gets to perform in studio to her virtual audience. Thank God she has her band with her. But God, yeah, I'll never really get the sight of them dancing to Vin Diesel out of my brain now.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, it is seared in my brain.
Like, that's going to be in the, like, rich Joe's Reacts, like, 2020 compilation of the shit show of this year.
Oh, it needs to be.
Flash to that every 3 seconds.
It needs to be that with every guest on Wendy Williams rolled out on the screen. Mixed with the Cinnamon Toast Crunches in the baseball audience.
Oh, yeah.
What else was ridiculous that I saw? Did you see South Park just did?
I saw they did a COVID special, and it was their first ever hour-long special. That's how they marketed it.
But. Yeah, so to promo it, they put every single South Park character ever in the audience, I think of at a baseball game or a hockey game or something. I can't even tell the difference anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even know who has the best one.
I know, they're really good, but ultimately the best one might still be the dystopian nightmare that is the Drew Barrymore show, which Rich has been continuing to caption week by week. I don't need to see the show. I just need to see the recap of her screaming and
yes, everyone. Rich Juz, who we shouted out a few weeks ago,
yeah,
has
once again
continued to make these Drew Barrymore show compilations at the end of the week, and it is
so funny. I
forget
about it every Friday, and then I see it come up.
Week three,
it's going strong.
Oh,
I mean, I love Drew, but that's a lot of energy.
Yeah, her audience virtual thing is also weird.
I don't think I've seen what they do.
It reminds me of...
Oh, no, they project it behind her.
Yeah, it's like a screen, but she looks like a classroom teacher that's, yeah, like, pointing to the screen and being like, hi, class. And, like, it's just... Like, Ellen has these 10-foot screens.
Yeah.
Wendy has them behind her and then a rolly wheel. Drew has them on, like, a whiteboard, it looks like. Kelly Clarkson has them in the audience. It's all just so fucking stupid looking.
It is. I saw a TikTok of somebody filming their audience appearance, and she was just clapping at the screen and cheering alone as her roommate filmed her. And I'm just like, yeah, it's pretty much it.
I know. I really want them to do... Didn't we talk about this on the podcast recently with Cruisin' USA?
Yes.
Someone needs to do, and I'm putting this idea out there because I've already pitched it in other places and it got rejected, so I'm throwing it out there into the world and I don't have the technology to do it. But, like, how funny would it be if someone did Mario Kart or whatever and the virtual audience was actual real people? Like, there's something there that could be funny.
There is. We'll send it on over to Nintendo.
Yeah, do it. Super Smash Brothers. Anyway. Yes. Well, another cover from Collegiant. And then I don't even have a segue for this one.
Oh, no?
No.
Well?
I see that we have quarantine knee and there's nothing to talk about.
No, I think she went on a trip, though. I saw her and Sam went on a plane wearing masks, which not everybody does.
Nope. But I couldn't tell where they were. There was a palm tree. Either,
but it looked like the private, like, runway or whatever. That I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, it looked somewhere warm. You could tell by the fashion they were wearing.
Well, like me, I don't think she dresses for the season, usually.
Yeah, so, me neither. I've been wearing short shorts. Well, I love
speaking of her attire, it's a shorts. Nope. Hit it.
High fashion. So editorial.
Guys, this is awesome. This is a billboard. This is super high fashion.
Oh my God, that's so high fashion.
So high fashion.
Okay, so I have a high fashion moment this week. I'm back. Last week I was this week I was pretty MIA too, but this week, in high fashion editorial, I would like to shout out
my Stephanie Geromato
for her new whatever they are's Head Rush and Heat Spell from House Labs. The promos.
Yeah, are they palettes?
I think they're eyeshadows.
Oh, well, I won't know until Nikki Tutorials does a swatch check.
Literally. And,
you know, but yeah, I did see the promo pics. They looked very hot.
So good. And the video too. I was like, oh my God, she's literally a billboard.
You know, she gives us one music video and she says that'll last them for 6 to 8 months, right?
Right. I'm going to critique my Stephanie here for a second. Enough.
Is it the application of the eyeshadow?
No. That'll be next week.
That you can take up with Sarah Tano, whoever whoever has a problem with her makeup.
With Manny Mua.
Yeah.
And James Charles. I'm sure they'll be doing a House Labs review.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, but I just want to say, Stephanie, this is directly to you. Enough with the promo and the ads. Mm. She has done more music videos for Rolex or whatever that thing was. And House Labs, when we need 1,000 Doves, we need Alice, we need Chromatica 2, we need Sign from Above. We need more music videos, not Rolex commercials.
Mm. Tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, Stephanie. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I have to agree. Unless she's planning some spectacular for the end of the year, it's definitely been a quieter album campaign.
Yeah. But hashtag ad. I can't really judge. We have. I know. We just got a sponsor, so I can't really make fun of Stephanie. I just really want a music video for 1,000 Doves. That's me being selfish.
Maybe she's just making it go the distance and spacing it out really far. Let's go with that.
Okay, fair. Chromatica 4 coming 2021.
Right, exactly. Well, we still have the Chromatica ball that everyone got postponed their tickets and all that. So
there's not new dates for that, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, good, because that would be annoying.
Yeah, she's going to wait and see.
Oh my God, when Chromatica ball actually happens, if y'all thought I was crazy now, you have no idea.
Oh, you're going to go in full tinfoil. I know it.
Oh, I'm going to break both knees and arms. I'm going to dance so hard. Oh my God. No, but I just got at the visual of when I said that.
What?
And I think about this all the time. Do you remember that time that I armographied that guy in the face at Monster Bar and broke his glasses?
Oh my God. Very vividly. You fully smacked that man's face while you were doing, well, work bitch, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So everyone hears the story, and I think about this all the time. And if that man is out there listening, I apologize. I was doing armography.
Still trying to find your name to sue you, but
I was doing armography to Work Bitch, and I
the
made
the Work It Out flick.
Yes, the Work It Out flick, and I whacked this man so fucking hard, right in his face, and his glasses were busted.
Flew. Wig and glasses flew.
And I still, to this day, this is like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I still feel guilty as if it was yesterday.
I mean, it was an intense attack,
it was a really hard armography.
You know what? Don't get near you on the dance floor. That's what everyone says.
What was that?
Don't get too close.
Literally 6 feet away. Yeah,
you were just doing social distancing before it was cool.
Oh God, I feel so bad. Okay, anyway, what's your high fashion?
So my high fashion, to no surprise, is the Savage X Fenty fashion show, which is now available on Amazon Prime Video, not sponsored. It's volume 2. There was one last year, and it was just incredible. I cannot believe how many people were involved in it, but done in a way, it was shot in the pandemic. They took the proper precautions and on all of that. And it was a really well done display of fashion and music and models. And it was the most inclusive, diverse array of people, genders, skin tones, sizes, and it was such a celebration of bodies and like just confidence and power. And it felt so modern and fresh to be like, they didn't make it like a spectacle, like, oh wow, our first ever plus size model sort of thing, you know, that is so like, I think like insulting in my opinion. That it was just like, here's everybody, like anyone can be, you know, empowered in their body. And it's so Rihanna, in my opinion. Just, it was so cool. And everyone looked super hot. You know, it was everyone from, so they had performances scattered in between, like Rosalia, Bad Bunny. There was Travis Scott. There was so many people. And then there were so many models. And the cool part about it was that it wasn't a traditional runway. There were runway-esque moments, but sometimes they were dancing. Sometimes they were strutting on like moving mechanics and things like that. It was everyone, Paris Hilton, Demi Moore, Lizzo, who else was there? Oh my God, it was so many people. My dog, it was so excited about it too. Normani, she was like boobalicious in all white. She was so hot in that. And my favorite moment obviously goes to Rihanna herself, who kind of bursts out of this flower, kind of like Poison Ivy in Batman versus Robin. And it was very gay rights. Oh, also Shea Coulee and Gigi Good and Jada Essence Hall. There was a whole segment about drag in it and how she's inspired by it. I was just shook by, like, she just gets it. And so Rihanna bursts out, just does a sassy walk, and it's set
to...
Was
it as iconic as the Fresh Out the Runway moment?
I think that one's still the ultimate, because she was like, that was such a moment. But this was good. It's just that this was like in the midst of everything, so it just felt like part of the scene. She was still like the moment, but it was a fierce walk. Just the look she gave the camera was everything. And then it was set to an instrumental called Real High, which the stands found out was a registered song, a new song from her. And we think this is possibly an R9 song. So some fans said it was like Cockiness, the song from Talk the Talk. Very cool song so far. So, and of course, her fucking, I posted the picture. Like, there are so many pictures of her in it, but the ones of her in black and white, like, as I continue sliding down the Kinsey scale, which is not for earthquakes, I'm just like, I saw that word
and I was like, oh, that's literally, I think, the second time in my life I've ever heard someone use that word.
Well, I'm full of surprises, but that was basically that. And yeah, she looks super hot. And I just thought, what an incredible thing to pull off. It's under her name. She's such a boss. She's a goddess. And I can't stand hard enough for Riri.
So the whole show is on Amazon Prime?
Yep, it's an hour. You can watch it, the whole thing, and it's split up between performances and like displays of the fashion and behind the scenes videos with Rihanna talking about her aesthetic and music and sexuality and drag and everything. And it's just like, she is so evolved at this point from like being who she was as a pop star, which is fine in its own right, but now she's like such a creator and entrepreneur that you can see her mind has expanded so much. And she's just, and also all these people have an influence on her. You can tell her mind has expanded on like inclusivity, sexuality, and all that stuff, where she's just so in on it and cool. And like, oh, I just love it. So I highly recommend watching it if you want to see some performances and sexy people all over the place.
Okay, I'm looking that one up.
Oh, and Erica Jane in like boob tassels too.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a really fun display of people that are all in the same room together. And you're like, wow, I can't even believe that Erica Jane, Paris Hilton, just tons of people. We're all interacting with each other at the same time. Christian Combs, just tons of people.
This is a place for legends. Okay.
It was very cool. Yes.
To watch it. I mean, I love her. So.
And you'll be really inspired by the set design and the lighting specifically, I thought was very cool. The projections and just what they did. Yeah, my dog really loved it. So,
oh, what was that? What did he say? I agree. I think he said,
Where's
the Normani album? That's what I heard.
That is what he said. Honestly, the question on everyone's minds. And now I do have a special fashion award. It's the honorary, you know how there's like CDFA? This one's the CFA, the Clown Fashion Award. It doesn't get awarded too often, but in this case, we are giving
CFA.
It the CFA.
Okay, I like that.
The Honorary Clown Award goes to Miss Lana Del Rey. Give it up for her. Isn't she ignorant? First of all, I have gone so hard for Lana ever since Born to Die. I've, you know, defended her through the SNL thing and all of that. And this year, she has just done everything in her power to make me unstan, and I hate it. She had that awful series of events on Instagram where she just seemed totally tone deaf about Black Lives Matter. Her like general participation in that was really questionable and just didn't feel great. And then now she did that interview magazine where she posed in that glittery see-through mask. And I didn't like that shot anyway, because I was like, that's a terrible message to send. I don't care if it's fashionable. It felt very stupid. She loves that mask and she fucking wore it for a meet and greet for the signing of her poetry book over the weekend. And not only did she wear it, and it was like, okay, well, maybe she just like kind of kept it chill and quiet. She documented all of it. Her fans were trying to like play down the videos and photos on Twitter. And she herself posted like a full live stream of her in the mask meeting people. And I'm like,
act the fool, girl. I'm here. Act the fool.
It's an actual meet and greet too. It's not like she went
inside.
Inside. Now, some fans are claiming that there's like a mesh cover behind the... I think it's a terrible message either way, and I don't believe that's even true. And I just... What a mockery of just basic human decency. And I don't like to get too on people about the mask thing, but at the same time, I know you do. I just feel like that's so disrespectful to like purposely wear one that isn't even effective. It's like, then don't fucking wear the mask. If you're going to go like that, like go all out. Don't wear it then. Like that is such a rude signal to send, and she gives no fucks. And I'm like rapidly unstanding because she just looks really ignorant this year. And I hate to say that, but I mean, her comments too on the posts are all her fans just being like, I love you. Don't do that. Please, like, don't wear that mask.
But are we surprised, though? Because, I mean, she's not the only one.
I don't know, because this is a little different because it was a fan event. And I would think you'd know better, you know, when you have someone like Gaga in comparison who wore a mask even during her televised interview, which surely she was tested beforehand for that Sunday interview. She still wore it because she said that she wants to send the message. And Ariana's done the same. And if you're going to document it, too, like... it was a terrible look. You can see her smile right through it. And it really disappointed me.
I saw the photo with her smile through it. And I thought that the stands did that face.
Oh, yeah, like a face app thing.
And I was like, oh, that's really funny. And then I saw her post and I was like, oh, that wasn't a meme. Someone actually, that's real.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard for me to justify or defend. And she's not high up on my list already because I did not love her whole thing about defending herself as a sensitive artist and kind of lumping in all those other artists. It's not been her year for me at all. I'm not impressed. That's basically it.
What was she meeting and greeting about?
She just released her poetry book. So she was signing that, which is another, it's not really of interest to me. I've heard a few.
Oh my God. What is it called?
I'm struggling on this, on the Lana train, but if you want violent bent backwards over the grass is the title of the poetry book, and she's got a album on the way called Chemtrails Over the Country Club, which actually is a good funny title, but I don't know.
I'm
sorry to totally go off, but and I'm not usually
I was gonna say I just was like and I was pulling myself back.
It's different when it's a fan to fan event and it was in public in person. It just felt like extremely disrespectful.
It's also so selfish and self-centered.
Yeah.
Like you're so, what word should I use? Wait, what's the song? This is a Sugar Babe song or something. I'm going to get this right. Push the button. No, shit.
Oh my God. Yes.
Wait, no. I'm getting somewhere. Right?
Sugar babes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wanna push the button. You just push the button.
I did. I'm so proud of that reference.
Thank you. I've been secretly doing research on certain things, and that's one of them.
I love it.
So when you said, I think I just pushed the button, I was like, wanna push the button.
God.
No, but this is what I'll say about Lana. Like, you're so selfish and self-centered. You can't just sign them and mail them to people, like that you have to have an in-person...
Well, to that Christian, it was like an impromptu thing. And I also wouldn't have cared, honestly, if she wore a proper mask and there was some sort of distance situation.
Yeah, just talk about things that are impromptu. Look what happened in the past few days. How'd that work out?
I mean, she could have worn the mask. That's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, or she could just log out. Anyway.
That too. Anyway, not my favorite year.
Speaking of clowns, shall we discuss this new music video from Dua Lipa?
Well, I don't have a problem with this. I think this is yours.
Should I go first? First of all, she's been acting a fool all summer. We stan Future Nostalgia, one of the best albums of the year. We're not taking that away from her. However, she wants to all of a sudden put out this music video where they're literally crammed in a little closet partying. Granted, they probably did proper protocols and all of that. I'm not doubting that in any way, shape, or form. But like, girl, you have not been fucking, you have not been doing that all year. Don't all of a sudden now, I can't.
Don't start now.
I need to stop now. Why can't you green screen everyone?
If it's an official production, at this point, there are protocols in place and there was testing and all of that. So I'm not bothered by it. But
like, what kind of message is that sending? You're partying in a room, dancing to Levitating.
Well, I think it's a little different because it's a production. And, you know, then you can say that about the Fenty show because that was in the pandemic too, because that was hot, like 100 people. But
Rihanna's also not doing that all year long, where she's been out partying without...
Two different things. I don't think the partying without a mask is good in her personal life. But at the same time, as entertainers, I think there's new protocols in place. And I do think it's a job and it's work. And Gaga just wasn't wearing a mask in her video. And I think now at this point, we've advanced to a stage where I am okay with entertainers doing videos of any kind, as long as they've followed the protocols and want to create a spectacle, a little getaway, be reminded. I don't know. I think you're probably just carrying over her social media stuff, which is fair from earlier in the summer.
There's a severity in the past 7 days that has escalated. So I think I'm also, like, when I was met with that visual of like partying in this room, and I'm like, my feed, like my social media feed, I don't know about you, but like a lot of people have just given up on like whatever. And New York numbers are going up. We obviously all know the biggest news this week. Like there's a severity that has increased in the past 7 days where I'm like, maybe I was just admittedly jarred by the visual. Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. I'm okay with this. People have a livelihood and a job at this point, and I'm okay with it. But as far as the video itself, I thought it was really fun and I liked it a lot. And I thought she looked really hot. I don't think it was anything shocking or particularly extraordinary, but I thought she looked really good. And, you know, I'm glad that Levitating is getting more. I mean, we didn't even talk about the fact that it's out for a third time, which is like hilarious. It's the radar of Future Nostalgia. She basically, and I don't blame her, like obviously the Levitating remix, certain people were more unwilling to show up for videos and promote properly. So I feel like that is a song that deserves to be a hit. So she was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna throw on one of the most in-demand rappers at the moment, and I'm also gonna just put it out more in its original flavor, and I have no doubt it'll do well for her. But yeah, the Future Nostalgia keeps coming.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I think you're definitely sensitive.
Like, I can't even listen to Future Nostalgia.
Oh, you're really mad.
Yeah, like something, I don't know what it was. I'll talk about it with my therapist next week.
That might be
good.
I'll
be like, we need to talk about Dua Lipa this week.
Yeah. I think that would be good, but
clowns will be clowns. Anyway,
well, she's also got a video with Miley coming. They shot it over the weekend.
Oh my god, just kidding. I stan.
And Miley walked out completely bloody, fake blood. Oh, that we know of.
Is it what?
we have no idea because we don't even know what it could be. Miley's song, it could be Dua's. We know that future nostalgia side B or whatever it'll be called is coming, but we also know that Miley's album's coming, so it could be either. I don't know.
Or a cover of something.
Sour Candy cover.
Oh my God, I stan. I'll forgive Dua for everything if she does Sour Candy. Wait, know what else we didn't even put on here? Speaking of Miley, her Heart of Glass cover.
Yes, her Heart of Glass cover is now on streaming. I know. Some people don't love that she kind of screams the whole thing, but okay, I think it's fitting for her right now. That's like her vibe.
I have to say, she can fucking sing.
She can, and I think being on this rock edge kind of vibe, this is her pocket. This is her lane.
It's so her.
Like, it's not country necessarily, but she could do that. But it's like kind of a twangy rock kind of vibe. This is her. This is her vibe. Really into this journey for her.
No, what I was just thinking.
What?
She should do a cover of You Oughta Know.
Oh, absolutely. Ugh. She's hitting all the spots of like, she's giving such like Joan Jett, Annie Lennox, Stevie Nicks, Debbie Harry, like all these kind of vibes that, and she's doing those covers, like the Maneater cover, giving you Edge of 17 and Midnight Sky. Like, she's just hitting all the right spots. And yeah, Heart of Glass, Blondie cover from the iHeartRadio Music Festival is now out. That's fantastic.
Also a smart idea to put out the performance on streaming so we don't have to download MP3s.
Yes. I think that more artists should do this regularly. So also, did anyone notice that she had a heart-themed performance? She did Who Owns My Heart, Heart of Glass, and Nothing Breaks Like a Heart.
Oh, the concept for the heart is basically about the heart.
Yeah, for iHeart. I didn't even put it together until I wrote down the song she did, and I was like, wait a minute. That felt, I mean, it could have been an accent because those are all her songs and whatever, but it felt very like, oh.
Oh, no, I don't think that's an accident. Miley's smart. Yeah.
She didn't do Who Owns My Heart in almost a decade, so.
Ugh, iconic. I really want her to do Bottom of the Ocean next.
Well, what she needs to do is a full Can't Be Tamed decade-honoring performance, start to finish. Robot needs a massive 2020 performance. She needs to be in a robot suit. But that's just me.
Robot would be so good right now, especially with her rock vocals.
Yes.
Ooh.
And Liberty Walk.
So good. The City of Angels is lonely at night.
Wig. If she wants to pretend it's an Ashley O moment, that's fine.
I mean, Ashley O, honestly, in the pandemic, Ashley O would be thriving.
She really would be. She would be on Roblox with Ava Max.
Oh, hey, I'm a ho.
Anyway,
I'm so glad that we got to have a moment where we heard Ashley O in a real bar in public and got to dance to it before the pandemic hit.
Yeah, grateful for those memories.
Yeah. Well, shit. Speaking of some new music, shall we? Well,
we'll start with your fave.
Okay, so I listened to one new song this week, and I'm not even kidding. I'm trying to think if there was anything else.
One of the busiest new music Fridays in weeks.
Listens to nothing.
Listens to what song?
No, okay, so I've been like on an EDM kick. I've been listening to Deadmau5 all week.
Okay.
It's embarrassing to admit. But Trisha Paytas, the freaky chanteuse herself. And the only reason why I listened to this is because my friend texted it to me. Hi, Chris. I know you're listening. And the song is called Only Fan. And I was like, oh my God, Legends Only Fan. But it's kind of a bop. And it's, she shouts out freaky in it. She's like, told ya I was freaky. Basically me singing.
Basically. You know, I gave it one listen out of respect, and it gave me, you know, somebody who has heard Ariana Grande's music once kind of vibes.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really just, what's the word I would like to use here? Something's not clicking in recent weeks. I'll just say that. The taste has... the flavor is just a little sour. I feel like 2 weeks in a row, I'm like, oh my God, Vin Diesel, bop. Trisha Paytas, yes.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you know what? Well, that's what makes the show so great is the contrast between
unique, refined taste.
Unique and interesting. And, you know, you. So.
Hi. Well, you know, you bring very cool and different recommendations.
Well, Brad, good luck.
Oh, I literally, I don't, I'm looking at all these things. I don't know who half these people are.
Right,
no,
I know.
I do know who they all are.
Well, we've got a lot of ground, and I'll just preface this by saying, because now consistently I get a DM or two every week just being like, you missed the following. And it's just like, all of the
this
things.
This week I'm it's like, going to be like, how do you deal with him?
Right. It's, I don't, even though I feel like I say way too many things about recommendations, there's always like one that I didn't mention, and I will miss plenty this week. But the highlights are as follows. Number one, and literally number one on trending right now and probably through the weekend, is Miss Megan Thee Stallion has a song out called Don't Stop. And it also has a video by Colin Tilley, the same director as WAP, and also I think he did Nikki's Anaconda, and he's been around for a while. He's incredible. Alice in Wonderland themed video. First, I love Don't Stop. I think the chorus is really good. I feel like she has a hook on her hands that probably will go the distance for her, hopefully. Young Thug's on it as well. And he goes sort of Edward Scissorhands in the video while she does Alice in Wonderland. She has like a Cheshire Cat look, the Queen of Hearts.
My name isn't Alice.
Yes. So she does that. And the video also features two people from Legendary, which she's a guest on. And if you haven't yet, I highly suggest watching it. It is the Voguing reality competition series on HBO Max, which is getting a second season already. And yeah, she has Honey Balenciaga and Michaela Lonvin are doing their Vogue thing while she's like on a giant rocking horse. It's very, very chic, very cool. I don't know. I love it. And Megan is just killing it this year. I mean, in spite of everything, her personal drama, to say the least, and also the pandemic, like I just feel like she's absolutely had such an amazing 2020. So we stan. You'll look that one up.
Also, quick note, because you mentioned Nikki. Nikki had her Bobby.
That's right.
Little Bobby Minaj.
We definitely need a soundboard thing for like a baby reveal or something.
What could it be?
Maybe it should be like, you should be at home worrying about your baby.
Oh, literally, I'll put it in there.
Yeah.
I do not need to get dragged by the Nicki Minaj fans again, though.
That's true. That would probably go left. But anyway,
baby, a little baby that's at home by itself.
Yeah, maybe that one won't work, actually.
Megan King Edmonds.
Right.
She told me to go home and worry about my baby. No wonder why her daughter doesn't talk to her. No. I need to add a Kelly Dodd soundboard.
There's so many things for you to do.
I know. I have a long list of things to get done.
A long list of ex-lovers.
No, that is a list that is empty.
I was going to say, well, actually.
That list is zero.
Well, so is mine in the pandemic. So clean slate in the pandemic.
Yeah, literally.
Anyway, I don't even know where we were. But, oh, yes, congratulations to Nikki, a mother. We're going to get the Mother album from her now. We're going to get Ray of Light, but no, it's not going to be Ray of Light. It's going to be Ray of Romans Holiday.
Babies First Pink Friday.
Yeah.
Literally will be it.
Oh my God. Romans Revenge. Yes.
If you want it, I'm gonna be baby boom boom. No, I don't even know. What's that store called? Babies R Us.
Oshkosh Bagosh.
Yeah. Just met a boy,
she's
just met a boy
that
when.
It's her for sure.
He could come inside of my little playpen.
Yeah. It's funny that all these bitches are her sons, but she had a daughter.
This is for the girls, this one.
Exactly.
Okay, well, speaking of the girls.
That's right, the girls themselves. Blackpink in our area, the revolution is here. The album, which is more like the EP, is here. It is, I think, 24 minutes long. They said, album, not this. They
sour
like
candy.
Yeah, which they could have included on here, but they did not. Blackpink arrived with their album. It is led by a song called Lovesick Girls, which actually is co-penned by Jennie and Jisoo. And David Guetta does the production. And it actually reminds me of a little bit of the energy of Where Them Girls At, the Guetta song with Nicki.
I stand.
Very electropop, kind of 2015-14 era with an Iconopop.
That's where I'm stuck.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of I Love It, Iconopop. It's about how we're all going to die alone, but why are we still looking for love, which is like relatable. And I really enjoy the album. I think it's too short. I think it's, you know, a tease. And I kind of just feel like it's more like the latest step in their global takeover. I mean, it's just so impressive that they have Selena and Cardi and David Guetta and Ryan Tedder and largely English songs on the album as well, or it's heavily in English. And I think it just represents like how global they've gone. I really like it. And I did a little review on MTV Australia, but really I mostly talked about...
Oh, she's international.
Yeah, they asked me. As I said, I'd never turned down a request from the homeland of the Minogues. So did that. And really it was just...
In the land down under.
Thinking about their legacy and what they've accomplished so far. And this kind of just feels like a little victory lap in that I'm excited to see what's next for them. Because it's so funny that it's their debut and they've been around for 4 years. So
it's their debut album?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's called The Album, but it's only 8 songs long. So it's like, you sure it's not the EP?
Well, I'm going to look that one up.
Yeah, but they've, you know, they've done minis before of like 4 songs. And so this one, I guess, is an album's worth. But, you know, I just think it's the latest move in their takeover. And they have Cardi doing tweets for them. They have a song with Cardi called Betchuana, which is kind of, it gives me like a little bit of Meghan Trainor. It's kind of like bubbly, up-tempo kind of pop like that. Or like, I don't know, maybe a little mixy. Kind of that vibe. But yeah, it's really confident and cocky. My favorite one to quote is Pretty Savage, where they say things like, they got 2 lines in this that's my favorite. We some bitches you can't manage, which I was like, oh, girls. But then fucking Lisa says, born skinny bitch.
Skinny.
So they're just very confident. Very confident girls. So I like it. Very I Don't Need a Man vibes. In my opinion, is a very feminist kind of leaning album because it's very success and happiness above everything, like taking over the world. Boys, maybe, don't need them. I like it. So yeah, that's Blackpink in your area.
I'll get to it in a month. Speaking of global takeovers, live from the Tokyo Dome. Mariah Carey. Now, I did listen to this. I'm lying. I did listen to something new. The
something
rarities.
New. That is old.
Yeah. Something borrowed, something blue.
Something iconic. Yes, that's you. It's the rarities, everyone. Available now to coincide with the meaning of Mariah Carey. It is a very clever take on doing a unreleased album because she goes through all of her eras, which not everyone has, and kind of gives you a taste of what each era's unreleased sounds like.
It's so good. I mean,
love that. Yeah, she gives you the date in the title. So like, you know, if you're a fan of like, okay, she was doing Daydream when she was doing this.
It kind of reminds me of what they were trying to do with the singles collection from Britney.
Yeah.
How each single had like a B-side to it.
Right.
But we already knew all of them.
Yeah. It was sort of like, well, you released that in Europe. So
I feel like people are going to start copying Mariah, what she did here.
Yeah. This is a really smart format. I think, well, the most exciting part has to be Lover Boy Firecracker original version, which we are going to go into that in depth in the book. I think it's probably Act 2 or Act 3. But this is really where I Don't Know Her, Jennifer Lopez feud comes into play.
Speaking Can I say that, something?
Oh, yeah.
I listened to this and I understood why it was unreleased.
Well, the only reason it was unreleased is because of Jennifer Lopez. The sample that you hear in the rarities J-Lo and Tommy Mottola, I mean, and I don't want to blame J-Lo here. Tommy Mottola really is probably the one who's done this, is they snatched that sample for the I'm Real remix for J-Lo like a month before this was supposed to come out. They scrapped it, and we're going to get into it in the book because I don't even know all the specific details yet because I haven't hit that part. But
same.
That is what kind of led to some drama because it was known that Mariah had sampled that song for Loverboy and that it was coming. But, you know, Tommy went behind her back and gave it to J-Lo and they had to shelve it and they came up with a different sample to use instead.
I don't really like that song.
What?
Loverboy.
Oh.
Am I going to get dragged for saying that?
You are. But...
is it like one of the top to the Lambs?
I don't know. I think it's...
like, is Loverboy to the Lambs what Born to Make You Happy is to us?
Well, I don't actually know, but I think it's definitely a bit beloved for being sort of... because it was elusive. The subject of controversy. It was elusive. Yeah, it was glitter.
Oh, I never liked Loverboy. I always thought it was bad.
Okay. I think it's amazing, and I think because I get demo-itis a lot, where if you hear the first version of a song, you fall in love with that version of it, regardless right. of what the... but her original intent was to have it sound like this. And I also feel like this isn't finished. I think the mixing of it is not finished. Or maybe it is, but I think this would have been a summer hit and would have been great for her as well. I think we're too used to how it actually sounds, but... you know, I like the
not
vision.
My favorite. But I do love that this Rarities had the Live from the Tokyo Dome album.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting my life this morning. Emotions, Always Be My Baby, Hero. Like, my number one is Emotions and Always Be My Baby.
Mm.
Like, it's a, and like Hero. That's like my trio of Mariah songs.
Mine is My All,
ooh.
The Roof, and God. I mean, I really stan Hate You, actually, from Memoirs, but...
Meteorite.
Oh, Meteorite, Bob. Of course.
That whole album's underrated. Can we go into that album one day? Because that album was...
oh, absolutely.
So
but,
good.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, bop.
Justice for Me, I Am Mariah, truly. But yeah, the Tokyo Dome Live is incredible and was like much demanded among the Lambly for years.
Can I say something else?
Oh, yeah.
Since I'm already canceled by this point of the episode, at least three times. I want Kygo to take these live vocals and do a remix.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely now getting canceled.
Bye, everyone. This is my last episode.
I think there's something to be said about, I don't know if it'll be Kygo, but I do think there's definitely something to be said about giving one of the classics new life with a remix for like a summer hit sometime. But yeah, I don't know. If
maybe next year.
Maybe. I don't know if it'll be Kygo. But
well, maybe I'll teach myself Logic Pro.
Honestly, and yeah, it'll the T-Kygo mix. The T-Kygo mix.
I'm just saying, like, don't underestimate me.
Well, see you at Ultra.
I mean, if I get my hands on Logic
Make
Pro.
It happen.
But I will say this, actually, because going back to my earlier point about, like, finding my passion again, I mm-hmm. feel like, and I feel more comfortable saying this now because I've been going to therapy, and she's been telling me that it's okay to, like, be proud of yourself and be proud of your accomplishments, which is something that I never always believed. I feel like anytime I put my mind to something, I am really good at it.
I mean, this has been documented time and time again. So if you do want to be a producer, I don't have any doubt that you could.
I have another vision. I'll tell you in private because I'm not going to want it's, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Brad, wheels are turning.
Brad knows all the secrets, all the secret projects, all the shenanigans. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I am not yet also a secret DJ producer, but I might be also. But until then, I also want to give a shout out to the song Cool On You from the Rarities. I'm obsessed with it. The Kick Rocks song, basically.
From an iconic year.
Yes, 2007. And obviously Slipping Away is like everything. And I can't believe it's finally like can listen to all the time. I love Slipping Away. That might be actually up there for me, but
yeah.
And then of course there's Out Here on My Own. She released that already ahead of time.
Open Mesmer. Arms. Oh, that's on the Tokyo Dome. Sorry. I'm like getting confused.
And yeah, I highly recommend it. I'm still digging through it and also like cross-referencing all of the like stand notes about when she recorded that and what that was. And also we're going to encounter it in the book. Like she references these songs, including the Out Here on My Own. That was in Act One. And she talked about how she felt she related to Irene Cara's song. Mm-hmm. So going to get into that. And yeah, this will all make more sense as we read the book too. So shout out to the Rarities. She's a beautiful girl. And yeah. Okay. Some quick recommendations. Roisin Murphy has an album out called Roisin Machine. And it is compiles singles she's released since like 2012, I want to say. And it is just a full wall-to-wall confessions on a dance floor disco album. But much more quirkier, if anybody knows, is familiar with her work. She is
She's an icon, but she's not somebody that you think about all the time.
She is.
Can you give the girls, including me, some context here?
Yes. So she was in a group, and I don't even know, Moloko, and they had a song, Sing It Back. That was an international hit. I'm trying to think of like what else might have crossed over, but like then she went on to embark on a solo career. She had some song that was like a So You Think You Can Dance hit. I remember that. I think it was it was Rama Lama Bang Bang. Like that one was like, I remember it went viral as like one of the songs that they danced to. And then she put out a song, an album in 2007 called Overpowered. And that is like the blackout of her career as far as like everyone dies over it. It's so good. You Know Me Better, Let Me Know. It's definitely, if you're trying to get into her, like start with Overpowered and you'll like understand. And so this is probably her next strongest album, in my opinion, because like Bjork and like a lot of left of center artists, she definitely gets into her experimental groove in some albums in her career, but this is like her most accessible in a very long time. And you'll definitely, just from the beginning, Simulation is such a bop, and it's very easy to get into this record. It gets pretty weird, but it's still,
I enjoy weird.
Yeah. And this is, she did this as a meant as a start to finish listen. She's a disco queen. It's very that. And I highly recommend this. This would make like a really good dancing around at home for now, listening to it on vinyl kind of record. So Roisin Machine.
I have this one on my to do for my walks coming up.
Definitely. Yeah. Just listen top to bottom. It makes sense. And then for stans who have already been following her, pretty much like 60% of this was already released. And I feel that they're also the best songs on the album, but it's still a great listen. Nobody and then...
and I literally... Sorry. That was, continue.
Nobody was killed making this album either. This is tried and true legendary queen Melanie C of the Spice Girls put out an album called Melanie C. I don't know where she came up with that. And... this is, 10 songs. In my opinion, this is Carly Rae Jepsen, like 20 years deeper into her career, still doing incredible dance pop. I think this is her strongest solo album. It's introspective. It's kind of reflective on her legacy, but it's all bops. It's all dancers, bangers. One of the new songs I love is Good Enough, but she put out like Who I Am and Blame It On Me. It's a tight dance pop set, and she's fucking Sporty Spice. So
Power of Four needs one girl more.
Yeah, no Victoria Beckham feature, unfortunately, here, but maybe next year. But I highly recommend this. To me, this is like, as I said, like CRJ, like just quality dance pop queen and an ally of the gays. She's done it for the gays and the girls.
I'm excited for this one too. I really like Who I Am.
Yeah. Oh, and if you like that, like the whole thing's like, you're going to definitely like Good Enough and In and Out of Love and all these songs. Anyway.
I'm queuing all of this up because I also need like a new, because we've talked about how we relate certain albums to seasons.
Yes.
So I'm like ready to find 2020's fall album.
Which for me is like still heavily Taylor Swift's Folklore. I'm like still like sitting somber as that dachshund dressed up in the cardigan looking outside. I'm very him. But I definitely, all these dance albums are like gym playlists, walking, driving. But like as far as the downtime, it's like Mirror Ball that's just hitting me right. I don't know. Anyway.
My new favorite one has been The Lakes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, I felt that.
You know, she was like, they're going to be sad during the pandemic. They want this.
Yeah. But do you have a playlist of fall albums by any chance, or is it just me?
I don't.
Because there's certain albums that I'm like,
things.
It's fall, this is blackout season,
yeah.
Or In the Zone, or I think of like I Am Me by Ashley Simpson, or what else is on my fall album list? I don't even know. I could look it up. But anyway.
Yeah. No, I get it, though. I definitely feel that. And then this one's probably the most like left of center is his name is Jonsi. He's from Sigur Rós, which is an Icelandic troupe. And if you're into like very experimental kind of sounds, he has an album that just came out, solo album called Shiver. Robin is featured on one of the songs that honestly sounds insane. It's just so scattered and strange, but the album is produced by AG Cook, who is PC Music, so it's all very that vibe, and I think it's really cool. I'm still working my way through it, and then there's 5 million songs I still haven't gotten to from just New Music Friday singles. This was a very unfair release day. Oh, and one thing you are gonna stand or just be shook at, the return of American Idol season 3 finalist Latoya London.
What?
She just put out a song called Forever that honestly gives me like kind of like SZA vibes. It sounds really good, but it's like I got the press release and I did a double take. Yes, Latoya London. And it sounds good. It's called Forever. Get into it. Let's promote.
Oh my God. I was such a Latoya London stan.
I know. I like everyone thought that it was going to be her, Jennifer Hudson, and Fantasia as the top three, right? Isn't that what?
Yeah.
There was that dramatic week,
yeah,
where they were on the bottom.
And Jennifer Hudson got sent home after singing Circle of Life. Oh, insane. Don't even get me started. If y'all thought I was going on rants about people wearing masks, don't even get me started on Jennifer Hudson when she got eliminated from American Idol.
20 years later, we're still outraged.
Literally, Circle of Life. Let me tell you something. Look how that circle came around, huh?
Get into
it. Oscar award winner. You want to talk about a circle of life? Anyway, she's an icon. She's a legend, and she was and still is the moment.
Oh yeah,
God, I'm gonna have to look that one up.
Yeah, definitely look that one up.
Justice for Carmen Rasmussen.
Oh,
I just that just came from the soul. I just felt like screaming that out loud.
Absolutely.
Justice for Kimberly Caldwell.
My queen got voted off.
Oh. Fuck Carmen Rasmussen.
Kimberly Caldwell, if you're listening.
Oh, wait.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, she was the one.
Oh,
she was
my God. Oh, my God. I literally just got teleported 20 years ago. That's right. Oh, she's literally the reason why Kimberly Caldwell got sent home.
She is. So, I mean, Kimberly's the reason Kimberly went home. That's, you know, they don't. It's not like they face off against each other and then they vote.
No,
so
we can blame America for not picking up their dial.
I mean,
whatever.
They have enough we can blame them about, so it makes sense.
Oh my gosh. Oh my, who else am I thinking of justice for? I mean, justice for Tamira Gray.
And Juliet D'Amato.
Ooh, Ryan Starr.
Oh, from Fram Sauce Forever. But yeah, the list goes on and on. Anyway. I still have a Google alert set for Ryan Starr, just in case.
One day. Well, anyway, speaking of that, back to seasons, you know.
Seasons, greetings,
spooky
yes.
Season, the weather outside, it's frightful. It's not the only thing that's frightful. But it's almost the holidays. And I would just like to say our impact here, not confirmed, however, I do feel like it is. Because we did a little bonus episode. If you're a Patreon Legend Only fan, you know. We did a Santa Claus Lane Hillary Duff listening party. That is one of my favorite things that we've ever done. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, it was available on streaming like a week later.
I mean, somebody's listening.
Somebody's listening. I don't know what label that is, but like our impact. And then a year later, it is now available at Urban Outfitters, not sponsored, on vinyl.
I know. I actually have to do a post about that. Yes, it's available in festive red, I believe.
Is anyone going to buy that? I think I have to stop.
I think the Duffsters will buy it just to be completists. I definitely think there will be some.
I got Metamorphosis.
Right. They do have Metamorphosis. I think they have self-titled.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember which ones, but they have one of them, I believe.
Yeah. And then I had a moment where I was like, I need to stop because like, where am I putting these?
Yes, they do have Metamorphosis and also the Lizzie McGuire movie soundtrack. But yeah, this is the latest. It's a 2-vinyl edition in red. And if you can believe it, the first time on vinyl.
Is the Christina Milian song on it?
It doesn't say her name next to the song. It's Tell Me a Story, right? Or no?
No, that was with Bow Wow.
See, it doesn't have any of the features next to it. But I think I'm sure it's just... Yes, I'm sure it's the album. It just doesn't specifically say features on this. Well, now that we have Santa Claus Lane on vinyl, we all need to come together as a people, protest, and demand that Dignity gets the vinyl treatment next.
I agree. What an iconic... Also, why is this on 2? Could they not fit 10 on 1?
I guess not.
Is that a thing?
Well, yeah, they don't usually do that many... A Year Without Rain is coming out too. Oh my God, there's too many things.
Also, you know what I was thinking the other day when I was looking at this?
What?
The cassette tape movement is kind of weird for me. Like, I bought Oops on cassette because Oops, I Did It Again was like actually on cassette when it came out. And
yeah.
Spice Girls and Baby One More Time. But these like Blackout in the Zone, Glory on cassettes, I'm like, no. Is it just me or is it like weird?
I don't personally get into that because I want it the bigger the better, like Nelly Furtado. And I don't, if it wasn't already on cassette, I don't really understand that vibe. But I also feel like certain generations, since they didn't get to really experience it, it's kind of novel. And I also think there are completists who just want all of the physical. So I get it. It's just, yeah, for me, if I'm going for something, it's vinyl. I want it big. I want to frame it, put it on the wall.
I do like the cassette for Chromatica and for Future Nostalgia. I feel like it works for them.
And I think, it works for that, but...
I don't know.
And no.
Just a random thought that I had. Also, the Britney cassette is, like, not... They didn't even, like, crop the key art. I'm just like, you couldn't, like, stretch it to fit. Anyway, I digress. the things that I get nitpicky over are just very unique and interesting. So anyway, that is all for this week, everyone. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And I know for a fact I did not cover like 80% of New Music Friday, and I apologize, but it's too much.
Yeah.
And you can check out both the Legends Only Weekly and also Mewtunes, my personal playlist. And we will have bops and bangers alike all over.
Yes, so. Go to mewmews.com to catch up on everything this week, because literally that's what I do, and that's why we stand
so
Brad.
So I'll be updating.
Yes, so until next week, or until a few days from now, if you would like to join us on our Meaning of Mariah Carey book club journey.
Yeah, read a book.
Listen to the audio. I'm listening to the audiobook. I can't
listen. Yeah, for us. Yeah, I definitely, in this case, I recommend, I'm going to get the book, obviously, to have it. But if Mariah Carey is going to talk at you for 11 hours,
right,
I'm going to take that up. Yeah.
Also, I can't read because it makes me fall asleep.
And I just can't read, period. So.
Okay, use your words, writer girl. Oh my God, Dolly Parton came out with a Christmas album?
Yes. Yes, she did. What? With a Christmas movie still to come.
I just opened up iTunes and it's like Bon Jovi, new album, Holly Dolly Christmas, Bruno Mars. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? I feel like this week was 8 years long. Jesus.
Yes, plenty to come.
Now that's what I call music, volume 75. They still release that?
They do. Now still sells.
Oh my God. Stupid Love is on it. She's an icon. Okay. And Daisies.
Wow.
Why don't we have albums?
The Legends Only now?
Yeah. Legends Only One. Starting next week.
We could.
I mean,
we just need to get it licensed or whatever.
Right. Just a couple $100,000.
Right.
Anyway, okay. That's all for this week, everyone. Thank you so much. And stay safe. Hang in there. Get outside. Try and get some fresh air. Feed a turtle. Wear a mask. And yeah.
We will.
I was like, yes. See you
soon.
Truly lost it.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.